2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse number 12. We read, "Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for allowing us to read just a portion of your word. Lord, just in the reading of the Bible, it's amazing what we receive. If we're paying attention, just in the reading of these few scriptures, Lord, it's amazing the truths that are contained. And as we preach the Bible this morning, I would pray, Lord, that you would help me to make it understandable, Lord, that you would use what is said to help us to fall in love afresh and anew with the Word of God. Lord, I pray that the Word of God would be very active in the lives of each and every young people as they go into the summertime. Lord, I don't know of a time, Lord, of the year where we probably need to spend more time, extra time, just in the Bible, meditating, memorizing, studying it, reading it. Lord, I pray, dear God, that we just saturate our entire being with the scriptures this summer, Lord, so that we will think the things we ought to think and do the things we ought to do and walk the path we ought to walk. Now, Lord, bless, Lord, the junior church, the primary church, those that are working in the nursery, all that goes on, Lord, all over this property. We pray, Lord, that your power and your spirit would be very active. If there's anyone here without Christ as Savior, Lord, in any of these services, may, Lord, their eyes be enlightened. May they understand the gospel, Lord. May their heart come under conviction of sin. And, Lord, may they be drawn by you to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. I was handed something this week that I thought was interesting. I enjoyed, honestly, reading it. I was given, and I won't go read all of them, but I was given about 2 pages of quotes that different men in our American history and different men of God have made concerning the Bible. And I just kind of read down through them, and I was stirred to think of our heritage that we've received here in America. Folks, don't let anybody fool you when they try to tell you that this was a nation. They want to claim that this nation was not founded as a Christian nation. They just don't know their history. They honestly don't know their history. They're speaking out of ignorance. But let me say this, folks. All through our history, you will see God and God's Word treated very preciously. President Grover Cleveland said this: "All must admit that the reception of the teachings of Christ results in the purest patriotism, in the most scrupulous fidelity to public trust, and in the best type of citizenship." Abraham Lincoln said, "I believe the Bible is the best gift God has ever given to man. All the good from the Savior of the world is communicated to us through this book." This is what some of the folks have said. Some of our heroes have said about the Bible. Sergeant Alvin York, in his wartime diary, World War I, he said this: "I carried a New Testament with me. I have the Testament I carried with me during all my fighting at home. Now, I read it through 5 times during my stay in the Army. I read it everywhere, in dugouts, in foxholes, and on the front line. It was my rock to cling to. It was my diary. I didn't do any cursing, no, not even in the front line. I cut all that out long ago at the time I was saved." Ulysses S. Grant said this: "The Bible is the sheet anchor of our liberties." Horace Greeley said this: "It is impossible to enslave mentally or socially a Bible-reading people. The principles of the Bible are the groundwork of human freedom." And you know why our population, why our citizenships are so easily giving up their freedoms? It's because they're ignorant of the Scriptures. Sir Isaac Newton said this: "There are more sure marks of authenticity in the Bible than in any secular history." George Washington Carver, and by the way, if you don't know anything about him, that's a biography you ought to get a hold of and you ought to read. He was amazing in the things that he invented in his lifetime. But he summarized his life by saying this: the secret of my success, it is simple. It is found in the Bible. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Patrick Henry said this about the Bible: there is a book worth all other books which were ever printed. George Mueller said the vigor of our spiritual life will be in exact proportion to the place held by the Bible in our life and thoughts. Of course, many of you have heard this. D.L. Moody is credited with saying, sin will keep you from this book, or this book will keep you from sin. Theodore Roosevelt said, it is necessary for the welfare of the nation that men's lives be based on the principles of the Bible. No man, educated or uneducated, can afford to be ignorant of the Bible. The great evangelist Gypsy Smith said, what makes the difference is not how many times you have been through the Bible, but how many times and how thoroughly the Bible has been through you. Charles Haddon Spurgeon said, nobody ever outgrows scriptures. The book widens and deepens with our years. Isn't that true? Noah Webster says this. Boy, listen to this, young people. Noah Webster said this: all the miseries and evils which men suffer from vice, crime, ambition, injustice, oppression, slavery, and war proceed from their despising or neglecting the precepts contained in the Bible. President Dwight D. Eisenhower said, the Bible is endorsed by the ages. Our civilization is built upon its words. In no other book is there such a collection of inspired wisdom. And my goodness sakes, I could read another 2 pages or 3 pages of these kind of quotes, but I'll stop there. Now, all these quotes are wonderful, and it is encouraging to read what great men of God and great statesmen of yesteryear have said about the Bible. But I am not going to preach on man's words today. For I'll tell you this, I can produce a list. I'm ashamed to say this, but you can Google it and you can find it because I did. But I can produce a list of quotes made by famous and infamous men that blaspheme the Bible, that deride the Bible, that dismiss its truths and its importance. So I'm not nearly as interested in hearing what men say about the Bible as I am interested in what the Bible says about the Bible. I'm going to preach on this subject this morning: what the Scriptures say about the Scriptures. What the Scriptures say about the Scriptures. I want to teach you a little bit about that book that you have with you today. I want to talk to you a little bit about it. I hope that you leave here this morning just a little more in love with the Word of God. Let me teach you some things that the Scriptures say about the Scriptures. First of all, the Scriptures say that the Scriptures are holy. The Scriptures say that the Scriptures are holy. In our text, the Scriptures tell us that the Scriptures are holy. In 2 Timothy 3:15, and that from a child thou hast known the holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. In Romans chapter 1, Paul opens the book by saying, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he has promised afore by his prophets in the holy Scriptures. Now, young people, you ought to notice this on your Bible from time to time. Don't overlook that word right there. It ought to say on the outside of your Bible, Holy Bible. You know why? Because this is a holy book. The word holy in the Scripture speaks to the pureness of the Bible, the sacredness of the Bible, the sanctity of the Scriptures. You do not hold just a Bible this morning. You hold a holy Bible. You hold a book of pure words. You hold a book of sacred words. You hold a book of sanctified words. If you hold a copy of the Holy Bible in your hand today, think about this. You hold the only book that God ever wrote. And every word in that book is pure and sacred and sanctified. Every word is holy, and not one word of it ought to be dismissed. You see sometimes that on our sign here. Some of you visitors may be wondering, Brother Jerry, there's so many types of Baptists out here. There just are. And there are, by the way. Say name them. I couldn't. We don't have enough time. You do want to get to lunch, but there's all kinds of Baptists. Well, why are you an independent fundamental Baptist. Well, independent simply means that we're not a part of a denomination. This is an autonomous church. It's self-governing. The word fundamental, though, means that we believe the Bible and we take it literally as it is read, as the very words of Almighty God. Now, you say, well, every church does that. You haven't been to very many churches. I can't believe how many people will just simply say about parts of the Bible, well, that doesn't apply today. Well, that's not for us today. Well, this doesn't have any bearing. My Bible says all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. Now, I can listen to your words, or I can listen to God's words. I can listen to what you say about the Bible, or I can listen to what God says about the Bible, but my King James Holy Bible says that I hold a book here that is holy. Matthew 24:35, Jesus said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. In Luke 4:4, it says, and Jesus answered him, saying, it is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. And that means I can't live. If I'm going to live properly, if I'm going to live right, if I'm going to live pleasing God, I can't just live and consume physical food. I need to literally consume every, notice that word, every word of God. You better get a Bible, by the way, that has every word in it. Too many of these translations taking entire verses out of the Bible, whole phrases out of the Bible. Well, they're not important. Well, God said, Jesus said, every man shall that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. Psalm 19:7, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of God are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. There is great reward. You know why? Because these are holy words. Psalm 12:6-7, I love the words of the Lord are pure, not the thoughts. The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified 7 times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. And I say, preacher, what are you saying? This is what I'm saying. You can place complete confidence that in every single word of this King James Holy Bible. You can place supreme confidence that these are the very words of an almighty and an all-holy God. This is a holy book because it contains holy words of a holy God. And by the way, we ought to treat it as such. We ought to treat it sacredly. When your Sunday school teacher, young people, look right up here, when your Sunday school teacher is reading the Word of God to you, and they're teaching you the Word of God, you ought to be hanging on every word. You know why? Because they're teaching you holy words. It's a shame that we pay more attention and spend more time reading text messages in a single day than we do the Scriptures in a single day. We'll have some friend send us a text message. We can't wait to read it, but God has written us a love letter, a holy love letter. We take little time, if any, to read it. The world in which we live has little or no respect for the Bible. They've banned it from our public schools and our institutes of higher learning. Can you imagine that? What a mockery. Men mock the Bible. They malign the Bible, but it does no damage to these sacred words. You see, I choose to believe God. I choose to believe in His holy words. Young people, look right up here and listen. Your biology teacher in some of our public schools in this area, they may spout off about a Big Bang theory, about natural selection, about transmutations, and about evolution. But let me remind you that those are just men's words. That's just a man up there talking. My King James Holy Bible says in Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Mr. Biology teacher, your words are corrupt, but my God's words are holy. Some local self-proclaimed non-believers, some blasphemous atheists, and we've got them in this area, my friends, may tell you that God does not exist, that God is a myth, that He's just a figment of someone's imagination, He's a hoax, He's a crutch. This same atheist will tell you the Bible's just another book. He will tell you it's full of contradictions and warn you that if you read it too much, it'll drive you crazy. Those are just men's words, words of an infidel. But my King James Holy Bible says in Psalms 53:1, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Mr. Atheist, your words are corrupt, but my God's words are holy. Bunch of hippies, and there's just a handful of us. I'm getting to be fewer and fewer that remember the 60s, and that's probably a good thing. Bunch of hippies in the 1960s decided they would grow their hair long. They told their fathers and their grandfathers that they were just old fogies, old man. That they did not need to go to a barber shop. Long hair was in. Long hair was cool. Long hair was groovy, man. Groovy. Sorry, Mr. Hippie. My King James Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 14, doth not even nature itself teach you that if a man have long hair, it is a shame unto him. Bunch of hippie chicks threw away their decency, threw away their womanhood, threw away their purity. They began to cross a dress, dress down, and dress less. When this happened, the sexual revolution followed. Imagine that. They shouted for their rights and flaunted their indecency. But let me just say this. All those words were just the words of men. They were corrupt words. But my King James Holy Bible didn't budge one inch. 1 Timothy 2 verse 9, in like manner also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broided hair or gold or pearls or costly array, but which becometh women professing godliness with good works. The Bible still proclaimed, despite what they said, Proverbs 31:10 still stated, who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The Sodomites are demanding their rights. They're claiming that they were born that way. By the way, we don't call them homosexuals here. We use a Bible word. They're not homosexuals. They're sodomites. They're not gay. They're queer. They want to be recognized equally in our modern culture. They say a married couple should not just be defined as a man and a woman, husband and a wife, but that two women should be allowed to be married. That two men should be allowed to be married. By the way, we've got a state representative that has been the chairman of the House up there that has kept us as citizens of the state of Indiana for having a right to vote on a constitution amendment on our state. I'm talking about a liberal man, Pat Bauer, that needs to be prayed out of office. Because he will not let us be a democracy. He will not let us be a republic. He stands in the way and will not let Indiana people vote on putting that into our constitution, that the definition of marriage in Indiana is one man, one woman, married for life. He will not allow that to be put in there. Let's just pray him right out of office, amen. And they want to be recognized. By the way, the reason he stands against it is because he's in their pocket. They march, the Sodomites do. They mock the New Testament churches that stand against them. They claim we suffer from homophobia. Hollywood stands with them, by the way. Our president stands with him. God help him. Even some so-called Christian denominations stand with them. By the way, there's nothing Christian to those denominations. Hey, Brother Jerry, what are you going to do? Well, I'm going to get my King James Holy Bible out. I'm going to read out in Leviticus chapter 18, verse 22. Thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is abomination. Defile ye, not ye yourselves in any of these things. For in all these the nations are defiled, which I cast out before you. And the land is defiled. Therefore I do visit the iniquity whereof upon it. And the land itself vomiteth out her inhabitants. Ye shall therefore keep my statutes and judgments and shall not commit any of these abominations. That's what the Bible says. Sorry, Mr. Sodomite. Sorry, Mr. Reprobate. But your words are corrupt words. And the Word of God, these words are holy words. My Holy Bible says in Romans chapter 1, verse 26, for this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, that even their woman did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. Now, I don't care what the culture says. I'm more interested in what the Bible says. Folks, listen to me. These words are holy words. They're sacred words. The culture can't stand against them, and the culture can't change them. And you know what? No matter what the rest of the world is doing, the people of God, you need to stand firmly on the Holy Bible. There's another group of people in this era that are trying to call evil good. They claim that it is okay for a man and woman to live together and not be married. Think about this. Get this. There's an epidemic of this right here in our local area. Men moving in with women, sharing a bed, playing husband and wife. No marriage, no sacred vows, no legal union, no respect for the institute of marriage. They say it doesn't matter. They defend it. They say there's nothing wrong with it. They curse the preacher who condemns it. They try to convince the next generation that God doesn't really care if you're married or not as long as you love each other. Sorry, Mr. Adulterer. Sorry, Mrs. Adulterer. Shame on you, you shack uppers and live-inners. My King James Holy Bible has something to say about this. In Hebrews chapter 13, marriage is honorable and all, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. Say, preacher, why are you standing firm on this? Because you better look around and see how many young people we have in this auditorium. And they need to hear preachers say, that's a sin. That's a sin against God. You young ladies, don't you dare do that. Don't you dare grow up and have some guy talk you into losing your purity and then talk you into moving in without a wedding ring, without a proper marriage a ceremony. Listen, he won't make that kind of commitment to you. You know what? He don't really care much about you. He'll leave you like he found you one of these days. The Bible sets the standard, not the culture. The seventh commandment still listed in my King James Holy Bible. Here's what it says in Exodus chapter 20, verse number 14. Thou shalt not commit adultery. I still find these words in my King James Holy Bible. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 30. Men do not despise a thief if he steal to satisfy his soul when he's hungry. But if he be found, he shall restore sevenfold. He shall give all the substance of his house. But whoso committeth adultery with a woman lacketh understanding. He that doeth it destroyeth his own soul. A wound and dishonor shall he get, and his reproach shall not be wiped away. How come we don't hear that taught in the culture? How come we don't hear that read in the classroom? Where's grandmas and grandpas that used to sit little children on their knees, grandchildren on their knees, and teach them these basic truths of the Bible? Where is that? What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying this. I'm trying to get a room full of Christians to once again treat the words of the Bible as if they were holy words. Folks, these are pure words. They're sacred words. They're God's words. Listen to me. Let God be true and every man a liar. Preacher, what does the Bible say about the Bible? What does the Scripture say about the Scriptures? The Scriptures tell us that the Scriptures are holy. Scriptures also tell us how to be saved. The Scriptures say that the Scriptures contain the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, you're still in 2 Timothy chapter 3. Notice verse 15. And that from a child thou hast known the holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. 1 Corinthians 15, for I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he arose again the third day according to the Scriptures. You know what? You'll find as the main theme of this book, the main theme of this book is that men are lost, but that they can be saved through faith because of the grace of God and the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Now, and by the way, aren't you glad that the Bible says that from a child thou hast heard the Holy Scripture? You know, there's people in this room that could stand up and testify and say, preacher, I wish that had been true in my life. I wish that had been true in my life. I wish that from a child I had known the Holy Scriptures. Don't get me wrong, I'm glad I heard the gospel when I heard it, and I'm glad I got saved when I got saved, but man alive, if I'd only had the opportunity that our kids have around here. There's a lot of people around here, and you know what? They almost well up with tears every time we have Sunday school opening assembly, and the buses are unloading, and the children are coming in, and you know what? They just want to have a hallelujah fit. You know why? Because there's some kids in this area, they're getting a chance to have something that they never had a chance to have. That's why some of these folks get up early. Folks, don't ever forget this. Don't just get up in the morning, go about your business, and not be praying as soon as you get up. I don't know what time you get up on Sunday morning, but it's never too early to pray. We've got people coming over to this plant, 6 o'clock, 6:30. We've got bus workers showing up anywhere from 7. Some of them leaving earlier than that, going out. And listen, we need to be praying for our bus workers. We need to be praying for our buses. But let me say this. We don't ever want to stop running buses here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. You know why? I'll tell you why. Because children need the Bible. They ought to be able to hear it from their childhood. They ought to be able to hear it. I'd like to see where you're carrying a man. I like to see these little kids on the front row, and I know sometimes it may not seem that they're getting a whole lot, but let me tell you something sweet. I was in Walmart the other day. Please, please, men, forgive me. Every once in a while, I feel like I got to confess a sin like that. And I try never to go there. I really do. There's only really a couple places in all of Terre Haute that I think is worth going to. Gander Mountain and Real King is the only two stores. You know, that's just about it right there. But I was in Walmart the other day. I went back to the garden section. I wanted to pick up something real quick. And there was a little girl that rides a bus to Blessed Hope Baptist Church. She didn't see me, but I saw her, and she was with her mommy. And they were walking down the aisle, and her mommy kept going, shh, shh. You know why she was saying that? Because she was saying, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine. I'm just laughing and laughing. She looked over and saw me. Her eyes got big around. She's like, Mommy, there's my preacher. I preach her. I said, keep singing, girl. Keep singing. Mom gave me that look like I'm going to kill you. I don't know who you are. Keep singing. No, you know what? Sometimes they look like they're distracted. Sometimes they look like they're not paying attention. But God's Word penetrates the tender heart of young children. I thank God that I got in church as a child. I thank God that I don't really have a memory of never being in church. I thank God that there was a preacher waiting at that church to open up a King James Holy Bible and teach us that we're all sinners, born in sin, lost without Christ. I'm glad he opened up a King James Holy Bible and taught us that there's a real burning eternal hell for those who do not get saved. I'm glad as a child I learned that Jesus Christ was born of a virgin, lived a perfect life, was the Son of God and God the Son, that he died on an old rugged cross for my sins, for my sin. So glad the Holy Spirit of God worked tenderly with my heart till I was brought to the point where I could understand that from the Bible I understood this. God taught me that God had provided a free gift of eternal life. He'd made it available to anyone who'd be willing to place their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. I thank God. I mean this. I thank God that as a child I landed in a church where a man of God preached the holy words of God and proclaimed, except a man be born again, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. You say, wait a minute, preacher, I don't know about all that. As a matter of fact, I don't believe that, what you just said there. I don't even think it's possible that you can know that you have eternal life. No man can know that, if whether or not they're going to heaven or hell. Boy, if I hear that once a week, I hear it a dozen times. We just have to wait and see what happens. Excuse me, sir. Excuse me, ma'am. But those are your words. See, I've got holy words. I've got God's words here. And let me read you what God said in 1 John chapter 5. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. And this is the record that God hath given to us, eternal life. And this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. Now don't you tell me I can't know, because God said I could. Don't you tell me that it's just a happenstance, it's just a flip of a coin or a roll of the dice. Don't tell me that, you know what, we just try to do the best we can and it'll all be measured out. We may get in, we may get out. That's not what the Bible teaches. Say, wait a minute, preacher, you said a minute ago salvation's a free gift, that all you had to do is place your faith in the finished work of Christ. Amen. It sounds too easy, preacher. You have to be baptized to be saved. One man might say that. Another chimes in, you must live a good life to make it to heaven. Another says you have to attend catechism classes, be confirmed, take holy mass to make it to heaven. You got to confess your sins to somebody in a little telephone booth at the church in order to go to heaven. Sorry, Campbellites. Sorry, you, another gospel, which is not another preacher's. Sorry, priests. Sorry, nuns. What you just said were man's words. Some imposter taught you those things. Some religious con man fed you that line. I know because I have a King James Holy Bible, and it told me something in Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 4. But God, I love this. Let me read all of it. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourself. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You say, you mean to tell me, preacher, did I just hear God's words right? I can know that I know that I know that I know for sure that I'm going to heaven, and I can receive it, and it's a free gift, and God's provided it for me, and I don't have to try to work to get it, and I don't have to risk losing it. No, that's exactly what you heard. Hey, in a few minutes here, not quite yet. I'm not done. But in a few minutes here, we're going to give a gospel invitation. And you know what? There's going to be two men standing up here. Brother Jack Gordon, you got your holy King James Holy Bible with you? You got it? Amen. Brother Reiser, is he out there still judging the coloring? You better be in here, brother. Hold up that King James Holy Bible. They're going to be standing on either side. They're going to have a Bible in their hand. Now, if you're a young lady and you come forward and you need to be saved, my mom, you got a King James Holy Bible? You got a King James Holy Bible here? Wife, you got a King James Holy Bible? By the way, I got a bunch of teenage girls here that's got King James Holy Bibles, and they can come up here and kneel beside you and open that book and show you eternal words, pure words, holy words. They will show you the truth of the Bible and show you how you can receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. Man alive, that is just, it just doesn't get any better than that. I thank God for the day that I was brought to church and I began to sit and I began to learn and I began to fall under conviction of sin. And the day that God spoke to my heart in a powerful way during a gospel invitation, I went forward, had an old-fashioned preacher that knelt at the altar and opened up his King James Holy Bible and showed me how to be saved. You notice I kind of like saying King James Holy Bible. If that bothers you, I'm glad it bothers you. You need to be bothered. You need to trade in that fake version for the real thing. Amen. All right. The scriptures. Brother Jerry, what's the scriptures say about the scriptures? Let me give you this. I'll just preach a couple minutes to Christians. The scriptures, yeah, they say some things about the scriptures. But the scriptures promise that the scriptures will bring us hope and comfort. Now I want you to see these verses. Let's turn in our King James Holy Bibles to Romans chapter number 15. Romans chapter number 15, let's just turn. I want you to see this. Christians, I want you to see it. You know what? You've come to church. You've been faithful. You deserve some encouragement from the scriptures today. Go to Romans chapter number 15. I know you carry some burdens. The honest truth is, folks, I could spend the next 15, 20 minutes and not run out of steam pointing at one person to another. And listen, I could tell you specific things that are going on in their lives. And you know what? They need the hope of the scriptures. They need the comfort of the scriptures. They need the encouragement of the scriptures. In Romans chapter 15, let's read in verse number 4. Ye then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. By the way, that's a good idea, church members. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. That's a good idea, church members. For even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproach thee fell on thee. Notice verse 4. But whatsoever things were written afore time were written for our learning. Notice this, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. The scriptures promise that the scriptures will bring hope and comfort to children of God. The scriptures tell all of us that are saved, that there is comfort to be had in troubled times through the words of this book. There's hope in hopeless times because of the words of this book. You say, preacher, I know I'm saved, and I know that. I can stand up and testify. But sometimes I feel very much alone. You all understand this, that you can be in a crowd of people this size and you can still be alone? Do you understand? Is there anybody in here that hasn't felt that experience, that you know what I'm saying is true? Preacher, I know I'm saved, and I know there's people that love me, but there's times I feel so alone. Let me say this. Hebrews 13, let me give you some holy, pure words from my King James Holy Bible. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man shall do unto me. You know what, folks? You don't ever, 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 ever have to be alone. Because Jesus is there if you're saved. Say, preacher, I know I'm going to make it to heaven. I know I'm saved. But I'll be honest with you right now. Things are tough. The economy seems like it's getting worse. I turn on the TV set and all I get is discouraged. I don't know about the future, preacher. Hey, I've got some comfort for you. Let me give you a little hope here from these holy words in this holy Bible. Jesus said, no man can serve two masters. You either will hate the one or love the other, or else you will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore, I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not life more than meat and the body more than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air. He said, hey, look around at the birds. For they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take you thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field. Hey, this is a great time. Just drive down the road and look around at all the flowers. Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Wherefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. I'm amazed at the provision of Almighty God. There's people, again, that could stand up. I mean, boy, if I let them, they'd pop up like popcorn all over this auditorium and share a blessing of something unusual that God's done in providing one of their needs. I know, by the way, God didn't promise provider once. The honest truth is, the average Christian that's sitting around having a pity party for themselves has all their needs met. Let me say it again. They have all their needs met. They have all their needs met. But you know what? We serve such a generous God. He doesn't stop. He hasn't in my life. Has he stopped in your life? Has he just said, I'm just going to give you food and raiment, that's it? Good night. I'm amazed at the blessings of God. I'm amazed at the generosity of God. I'm amazed how he continues to just find ways to bless and spoil his children. You know what? We have a great heavenly Father. Don't get discouraged. Don't worry about the future. Don't lose sleep. God's got everything under control. Preacher, I'm saved and I know it. And I'm a little ashamed to say this, but I fear death. I know that heaven's my home. I'm not afraid of what follows death, but I'm afraid of the valley. I'm afraid of the shadow. Preachers, there's some comfort in that book for me. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest the table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. That's all the way to the last day. All the way to the last day. And then I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Let me ask you something. Did he give you saving grace when you needed that saving grace? Has he given you living grace when you needed living grace? Don't you think he'll give you dying grace when it comes that time? By the way, you don't cross over Jordan alone. You don't cross over Jordan alone. Psalm 116, verse 15, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Luke 16 tells about a beggar and a rich man. There was a certain rich man that was clothed in purple and fine linen, fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass, watch this, that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. Now, I understand I have the same fears. I have the same thoughts that you do. Oh, preacher, good night. I thought you were a man of such great faith. Well, you know what? There's times when I have great faith, and there's some times when I'm looking around real hard to find a mustard seed full of great faith. I'll just tell you. But I know this. I know enough about this Bible. I know enough about my God that He's not going to walk with me every step of my life and then vacate the premises in the hours of my death. And I believe there's some supernatural things that happen. Brother, we've got testimony to them right here in this room. Remember my mom that so faithfully took care of my grandma all those years. Just cared for her right there in that parsonage right up there. God allowed my mom, I believe, to see my grandmother lift herself up where she had never been able to lift herself up. And stare with a smile of rapture into nothingness, but she was not seeing nothingness. Ask old Stephen when the stones were flying. Was he worried about the stones? Was he screaming out in pain? Was he... No, you know what he was doing? He was looking in the face of Jesus. He was asking for forgiveness for those that were throwing the stones. He was watching Jesus. Jesus locked on his eyes and his eyes locked on Jesus. And I believe everything else just ceased to exist in those last few moments. And maybe from a human standpoint, we would look and say, what a terrible death. What a horrible death. But you know what? You didn't see what Stephen was seeing or you wouldn't have said that. It wasn't horrible to him. He got to see the Lord. What I'm saying is this, folks. I know it's natural and normal to fear the unknown. But the Bible says in 1 Corinthians, the Holy Bible says, 1 Corinthians 15, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, the twinkling of the eye at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Here's the question. O death, where's thy sting? O grave, where's thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law, but thanks be to God which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to end this sermon by borrowing an illustration I've heard my dad tell probably 20, 25 times in my life and maybe more. Look right up here and I'm done. Look right up here. He said that there was a day when him and mom was out working in the yard and they were doing what you do, working around the place. And I don't know, probably mom stirred up a hornet's nest is what I'm guessing. But some wasp came down. A wasp came down and started going after mom. And if you've never seen my mom, when she's terrified, you just haven't lived. She gets in the spirit, brother. You never heard anybody scream till you hear my mom scream. And you never seen anybody run since you've seen my mom run. But she took off screaming, she took off running. And that wasp that came down after her, dad got in the way and it stung him. It stung him instead. Well, my dad, he's always been tough. Matter of fact, the wasp had to try about 5 times before he could get the stinger in. You know, just kept bouncing off of him, you know. But he stung him finally. And dad reached down and knocked him off, and he left the stinger right there in his arm. And he started hollering to my mom, who's still frantic. Honey, come back. Don't worry about it. That wasp don't have a stinger anymore. I got the stinger right here. That wasp can't hurt you. All it can do is buzz. Isn't that what you always say at the end? All it can do is buzz. We got a bunch of Christian folks. And by the way, I understand it because I felt the same things that you felt and thought the same things you've thought. But sometimes we get awfully afraid of death. And Jesus just kind of looks over and says, stop it. Settle down. Come on back over here. What are you scared of? Said, I got the stinger from death. I took that stinger from death when I rose from the dead in the garden there. Come on back. There's nothing to be afraid of. All death can do is buzz. All it can do is buzz. Wouldn't you like to have that hope? Wouldn't you like to be able to think about this? Wouldn't you like to be able to lay your head on your pillow at night and not worry a bit about what would happen to me if I was to die in my sleep? Wouldn't you like to jump in a car and drive down the road and not worry about what would happen if you were in some type of an accident? I mean, nobody knows. The Bible says it's appointed unto man once to die. Then comes the judgment. I've got that appointment. You've got that appointment. Sometimes it's coming. But you know what? A Christian, they don't worry about it. They don't fret about it. Because the honest truth is this. If you've received Jesus Christ as your Savior, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. You've got the promise of heaven. Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you, that where I am, there you may be also. Have you ever been saved? Have you ever received Christ as your Savior? If I was to ask you privately, hey, are you sure that if you died today, you'd go to heaven? Would you be able to look at me with assurance and with a Bible reason, say, preacher, I know that I'm bound for heaven because the Holy Bible, I learned the gospel from it and I received it and accepted Christ as my Savior. If you have doubts about that, or the honest truth is you know that you've never been saved, let me encourage you to be saved today. As I mentioned a minute ago, just a moment, not yet, we're going to stand to our feet in just a moment, and we're going to allow the piano player to play through some songs. And as we have our heads bowed and our eyes closed, there'll be men at the front. If you are here and you've never received Jesus Christ as your Savior, I was you once. And I heard the gospel preached, and I felt the conviction of God, and I knew I needed to be saved. And I left my pew and walked to the front. And I got somebody to show me from the Bible, the Holy Bible, how I could know for sure I'd go to heaven. Listen, there's Christians all around. They're praying for you. Everybody in here that's saved at one time was not saved, so they know exactly what it's like to not be saved. And they're praying for you, and they want to see you come to Jesus Christ today. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Nobody looking around, please. Our heads are bowed. Eyes are closed. If there's someone here today, and you know that you need to be saved, preacher, if I died right now, I'm not sure what would happen. I fear what might happen. But God is speaking to my heart. And preacher, I know I need to be saved. Preacher, would you pray for me? And by the way, I won't call your name. I won't come down and get you. We don't do that here. I won't embarrass you in any way. But I will pray for you. Preacher, if I died right now, I'm not for sure that I'd go to heaven. I really do need to be saved. Would you just pray for me, preacher? Just pray that I'll make the right decision. I'm not saved. Would you raise your hand? I'm not saved, but God's speaking to my heart. I'm not saved, but God's speaking to my heart. Just raise your hand up to where I can see it. I'm not saved, but God's speaking to my heart. God bless you, hon. I'm not saved, but God's speaking to my heart. Is there somebody else? Wait just a moment. Preacher, God's speaking to my heart. I need to get this thing settled. I'm not saved, but God is speaking to my heart. Let me encourage you that raised your hands. When we have the invitation, just a minute, I want you to leave your seat. Just go to the nearest aisle. If somebody's beside you, just say, excuse me, slip past them. Come up here. If you're a young lady, we'll get a lady to take the Bible and show you how to be saved. If you're a man or a young man or a boy, we'll get a man to take the Bible and show you how to be saved. We want you to be saved today. And I'm praying for you. And I'll do so right now. Heavenly Father, Lord, you've seen the response to the invitation. Lord, I pray, God, that you would bring those that raise their hands, bring them, Lord, to salvation today. Thank you, Lord, for loving them, for getting them here. You've worked all of their lives to get them to this moment, to this point. I pray, Lord, that they would respond now so that they can be saved and leave this place knowing for sure that heaven is their home. I pray for Christians. Maybe they need some of that comfort that the Bible says is available through the Scripture. Maybe they need some hope. Or even Christians, Lord, the devil can get us to places of hopelessness if we're not careful. May we run to the Bible. May we read it until we find those words of comfort and hope. I pray that you'd encourage one of my brothers, one of my sisters that are discouraged. I pray that you'd lift up, Lord, feeble hands. I pray that you'd encourage a discouraged heart. I pray that you'll help them, Lord, not to turn aside, but to stay faithful. Help those that are going through valleys. Help them to understand, Lord, that there is another side to the valley. And there's victory and another mountaintop waiting. Don't let them quit. Don't let them give up. Encourage them through the Bible today. I pray for these that need to be saved. May they, just in a minute, when we begin the piano player begins to play, when she plays just the very first few notes, I pray that right away they would move to the nearest aisle and move up on up here and let us get the Bible and show them how to be saved. Please, Lord, we pray these things in Jesus' name.